That's awesome.
Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you that you came to set us free. Thank you that you came to take our burdens, break the chains, no more shackle, like Jacob was saying earlier. I am free. Yes. Now we don't live in darkness anymore. We live in the light. Lord, I thank you that the way you are mending our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the way you always leaning towards us. So Lord, as we read your word this morning, I pray that our hearts would lean towards yours, and you would take, Holy Spirit, these words to rebuke us, to correct us, to equip us, and make us ready for every good work. We honor you and we submit under the authority of the Bible. In Jesus' name, and God's saint says. Amen. Now, there's something I want to rectify. I said last week, I want to kind of rectify, make sure everybody understood what I said. I wasn't condemning cell phones. I have one too, and thank God for this because it's a great tool. I get it. Some of you might be sitting here and you're taking notes. Okay, so there's no guilt. I don't know how to say that in English, but in French they say, à bon entendeur, salut. So if you heard what I said, when I talked about not being on your phone during service because of the fear of the Lord, I'm talking about being on Facebook, being on YouTube, being texting your friends. I'm saying let's show respect to God and to one another. For 2 hours, put it on do not disturb. Give God the full attention, your full attention for 2 hours. You know, this is no time for you to be playing your pack game, your color collection game. You know, so yeah, you have all evening to. So when I was saying what I said last week, you can be on your phone. And if your conscience is not condemning you, you're free. If you're taking note, if you're reading the Bible, thank God. That's a great tool. But at the same time, if you're allowing this to be a distraction when you should be focusing, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying, do not do. Don't let that happen to you. Because that's showing a lack of respect to God, and it also showing a lack of disrespect, a lack of respect for us too. Because we don't want to be distracted, even for me too, because it's like, if you're taking notes, that's great. You know, because I understand when I listened to it last week, I was just like, oh man, I could have, some people could have taken that a little, the wrong way. You know my heart, you know. He guided me with his staff, all right? The shepherd's staff I have sometimes can hurt you, but know my heart. I will always challenge you to do better. Amen? Amen. Can I have a better witness? Let's open your Bibles in the book of Ephesians. Thank God for his word. Now, if you don't have the Living Translation, I ask my team back there to put it on the screen. I'm going to be reading from the NLT, but yeah, if you have whatever version you have, you can follow it there with it, but I'm going to read from the NLT. We're just going to read. It only have 31 verses, all right? So let's just read together. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading. It says, unity in the body of Christ. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one spirit, and just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Verse 5. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each of you, each one of you, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, he, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended high than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that is the whole body. That is so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learn about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all type of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ has forgiven you. Amen? Amen. Wow. There's so much here, I need a couple hours. Thank you, Walt. I can take it if Walt says so, all right, guys? Appreciate you, brother. Now, think about it. We've had three, Ephesians have six chapters. In the first three chapters, what did Paul do? He's been trying to help us understand God loves us so much. You don't have to do anything for God's love. We learned last week from Felix, you've been set apart. You've been redeemed. Isn't it funny? I mean, not funny, kind of so crazy. It's so much easier for us to believe a lie than believe the truth. Right? Anybody like me? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. It's so much easier for me to believe a lie than to believe the truth. It's a lot easier for us to condemn ourselves than to give ourselves grace. Amen? Or maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, I find out that's the way I am. You know, I don't give myself grace. It's a lot easier for me to believe the lies of the enemy than, like I said, Paul spent three chapters spelling out in details. Give us one after the other. You know, you've been redeemed. You've been loved. You are his beloved. You know, there's nothing you can do to earn God's grace. Can we just stop doing things to earn his grace? Or just now, one thing we can do, Jesus said it, is to believe in the one God sent. That's the only work we can do, just believe. You know, when we really understand how much God did for us or how much he loves us, that frees us to serve him. Let me say that again. Guys, I don't serve God because he's up there in heaven just like, you know, those father, those parents. You know, I was even thinking about it. God is not like my father. God will never be like our earthly parents. Because some people, they don't want to identify with God as a father because they had a horrible father. Yeah. God is not like our earthly father. He's just, he's good. But once we understand what God has done for us, and that revelation, when your eyes are open, it enables you to, man, I just love to serve God. Seriously. It's like serving God shouldn't be a burden. That's why you don't, just think about it with me for a second. David said, I'm not going to offer God something that doesn't cost me. I mean, you see other religion, people in other religion, right? They sacrifice thing. You know, I know one religion, one of the requirement is they have to pray seven times during the day. Seven times. They have to lay this little mat down. They got to kneel down. They got to do this, you know, whatever they got to do. So their God, which is a false God, can smile on them. And then here we are, the maker of heaven and earth, saying, you, my beloved. You see, when you get that revelation, it enables you. I pray you get it. But there it is. Paul's like, I am a prisoner serving the Lord. I beg you to do what? Living a life worthy of your call. The call. Live a life that's worthy of the call. And this is a great plea to each of us this morning. How is your life behind doors? Last week we talked about, before we sent you home, I talked about, are you in Christ? Are you a believer? Are you saved? Are you in Christ? Are you in Jesus? Are you a believer? Are you born again? If you are, man, I tell you, what a great news. That's awesome. Are you born again? Or do you just come to church? You know, I was talking to a friend yesterday. They said, They're talking about one of family member who just despised church because of church hurt. I am so sorry that church leaders has misrepresented God. God is a good God. He doesn't take advantage of people. We need to live a life worthy of the call. And that goes too, if we say we love God, we cannot treat people like garbage. And I'm saying this, you cannot even call people garbage. If you know God, if you are a true follower of Jesus, you cannot treat people. It doesn't matter. That's why in the kingdom, there is no racism. There is no black church, white church, Spanish church, Filipino church, Haitian church. I mean, get me what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can't have Haitian church. But the whole mindset is like, oh, these are my people because this is my color. That's demonic. In the kingdom, heaven, it's every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every shape, every height. Amen. For the shorties. For the shorties. It is. And when we become kingdom-minded, God rules. Not our rules. Not Jesus' rule. Not Ricardo rule. Jesus' rule. And it's unfortunate that for years we've been doing it wrong. The church became like something, it became our possession. It became Ricardo's church. I don't have a church. This is not my church. We just read it. Jesus is the shepherd of the church. We are his body. He is the head. So that's why me as a little pastor, with everybody else, with the deacons, with the leaders, with the worship leaders, with everybody that does things, we need to be in line with what Jesus wants to do. We need to be in line with how Jesus wants to lead his church. And let me tell you this, the way he wants to lead his church, most of the time is never appealing to our flesh. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says, the spirit has desires that always opposite to the flesh. Even our flesh. You know, we were talking about the other day, some people use the excuse that they're human, right? You know, we just human. Just great conversation we were having the other day. I'm like, I was thinking about that last night too. I'm like, you know what? That's just excuses we find. Because we do have a debt. But when you've been redeemed, you don't live by the flesh anymore. Because if you live by the flesh, you'll die. Do you know how many people I wanted to really like give it to them? But I find this law, this greater law within me. I can't do that. So I take the narrow road. You know what the word says? The road to the heaven, to kingdom, the kingdom of God's road, is narrow, few found it. Guys, let us live in a way that's worthy of the call. That's what it says. Paul's like, as a prisoner, this is my charge for you. Please, I beseech you to walk worthy of the call. I beseech you, I'm calling you. I give you this call for you to live in a way that's worthy. And for years, the world has, you know, they laugh at the church, at Christians. You know, our lives must be different. When the world looks at your life, when the world looks at my marriage, Kendra and I, 27 years, will be, 26, we're 26, right? 26 years. Keep pushing it. You know? When the world looks at us, we're not perfect, but we make it a deep. Next week, I'm going to talk about that. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husband loves your wife as Jesus loves the church. I got the revelation that the more I learn to love her like Christ loves the church, the more I get to become like Christ. I used to hate that verse. I remember this one time I had this conversation, me and the Lord. I'm like, well, her and I, we're having issues in our marriage. I'm like, well, of course the word always is my compass, right? Spend time in the Word. And when I read it, the Word's just like the mirror, right? You look at it in the mirror. And I'm like, husband loves your wife. He who loves his wife loves himself. I'm like, why couldn't it be wife loves your husband like Christ loves the church? Why couldn't it be that? I'm serious. I'm having this conversation and I'm frustrated. I don't like this verse because at this time, there's no way I want to love this woman like Christ loves the church. No. I'm protesting. It goes both ways. That's good, Sandra. Because verse 21, that's my sermon next week. Let me go back to chapter 4. But you get it, you know? I beseech you to walk in the manner that's worthy. It's not religion. The person you are here is the person you are at Walmart. The person you are at Walmart is the person you are behind the steering wheel when everybody's driving like a mad person. Seriously. Paul's like, I am calling you to live in a way that's worthy of the call. Remember, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, he's telling you who you are. So therefore, you shouldn't act like any ordinary people. Stop living like Americans. You are citizens of heaven, and this is your constitution. This is our constitution. We need to stop living as Haitians or citizens of this earth. Because our true citizenship is in heaven. I read this, I'm like, man, I get it. We must live in a way that's worthy of God's call. And then therefore, I love it because he's teaching us, it's so clear. He says, be humble. Humility. Be humble. You know, humility allows you to see others better than yourself. Now, let me balance what I said. I'm not saying for you because you're humble, you don't stand for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. No, I tried. I asked God for his grace for me to be humble. But come try me. Come try one me over to see what will happen. I know my rights. When I say I'm right, my rights, I'm not saying like they say out there, I know my rights. No. Now, if I'm speeding, a cop stop me, I'm already violating the law. I can't be telling the cops I know my rights. I'm already at fault. Mr. Officer, here's my driver's license. Here's my registration. You know, maybe I give him a smile and say, well, God bless you, sir, for doing what you're doing. Maybe he'll let me go. I read your story, Dan. I read your story about, I won't tell it, but that was a good story. You know, so if you're kind enough, you know, and it goes, guys, when you live with integrity, when you live as a person of character, you have nothing to be afraid of. Because you will be the same person Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, January, comes next January. You'll be the same person even when you are under pressure. Because you know what happened? You really know what you make of when you're under pressure. When you're under pressure, go back and listen to it over Christmas. I preach a sermon about, can God trust you with hard time? Can you be trusted with hard time when you face trials, tribulations, you know, death in the family? I mean, that's it. You know, we're talking about death, you know. That's part of living. Death doesn't, when it comes, it comes. It disturbed everything. Are you with me? We're talking about be humble, be gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance. And you all know this word, making allowance for each other. Making allowance for each other's faults. Loneliness, that's another way, another word, gentleness. You know, making allowances, I mean, you could use the word, I think some of your version says long-suffering. bearing with each other, long-suffering. You know, long-suffering is the spirit that enables you to not take revenge. Long-suffering enables us to not take revenge. To be like, you know what? I'm going to let God be. Let God. Let God be the judge. Making allowance for each other's faults. How many times in the church or in relationship we like to point finger, expose each other's faults. You know, love covers, remind you this again, love covers a multitude of sin. Instead of calling people out, pointing fingers, why don't you start calling people up? I go back to what I said. Instead of seeing the vase or the cup half empty, see it half full. Because if when we really take time to look, everybody has some good in them. Even the worst person. But sometimes we you know, in our fleshly mindset, it's a lot easier to not be patient, to not make allowance of each other's fault. Why do we make allowance of each other's fault? Because of love. Something I'm finding out, of course, again, I use my marriage because she is the closest to me. The more I'm learning to love her unconditionally, the more certain things she does doesn't bother me anymore. And the more we can have a clear communication. I'm like, you know, when you do this, this is how I feel. Instead of just, okay, Lord, you see. You know what happened under the carpet? Which eventually, it's going to pile up like this. Because if you keep sweeping under the carpet for 40 years, I bet you that's going to pile up. Thank God for the gospel. Now, because of love, we can make allowance of each other's fault, but also you learn you can communicate. Every healthy family talks. You know, I was part of a church. One of the things that really destroyed a great unity in the church was a lack of communication. People don't talk. Now, when we are in relationship, we're going to hurt each other. It's okay. It's all right. The more we rub shoulder, the closer you get to me, a higher chance we will have that I'm going to hurt you. Because we do life together. If the only relationship you have and with me is, hey, how you doing? God bless you. Good to see you. Man, I mean, both of us will remain great, awesome people. But you know what? We go on a vacation together for 5 days. Then we're driving to the airport. Here we are. I got to your hotel room. You were supposed to be up waiting for me. And then here I am knocking at your door, waking you up. And now we're going to be late. I'm going to miss my flight. That's when you're really going to get to know me. But then this is where this verse calls for making allowance for each other's fault. This is where I need to make allowance. You need to make allowance. Why? Because of love. You know, we say we don't go to work late. You know, the same, this little rabbit trail I'll go right there. I want to thank each of you, all of you who make it a habit to come to our worship service on time. I honor that because you're honoring God. You know? And for those of you who once in a while come late, you will do better. You know? We make allowance for each other. Verse 3, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with what? With peace. You know, I get it. You know, some people, even in our own family, the best way to have peace with them and with yourself is to have a long-distance relationship. Now your heart's open, your arms are open for a phone call, for gathering, whenever you get together. Remember, time doesn't heal. Whatever issue you have with people, you have to talk about it. But sometimes they might not be ready to talk about it or to even acknowledge there is a problem. You know what you must do as the mature one? Grow up, move on. Give them grace. And you pray, Lord, give them grace. Because some people, they just don't know how to preserve peace or how to give peace. But you, as a citizen of heaven, must have peace with everybody. Peace and holiness, those two things are very important. We must be holy and we must have peace with people. Without those two things, nobody will see God. Don't be people who, what's that word, strife? Strife? No strife? Some people, they sow strife. Don't be one of those. Sow peace. Even when friends come to you and talk about whatever they talk about against the other, sow peace. Don't sow strife. You know, I come against the spirit of strife in the church. That's the spirit of strife has no place here in our church. It has no place in my family. Because the Francois family, we talk. We have heart talk. And we take responsibility. And I pray you do the same thing with your family. You have a talk. You have a chat. Guys, we must talk. This is what's happening. This is, you know, I remember this one situation we had in our family. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I can't figure out what's going on. I mean, I'm feeling this. I don't know. But me, as the father, I said, all right, everybody, we got to sit. What's going on? Because I don't know what's going on. But this is what I sense. And I tell you, 3, 4, 5 hours later, there was so much problems that we had to talk about. And by God's grace, we're able to resolve them. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope and future. Now, that's yes and amen. There is one body, it's the body of Christ. You know, there's a statistic out there that says Christianity, all right? 95% of things, you know, for example, I'm just going to use, I'm not going to name a church, but let's say the Baptist church down the road, ex-Baptist church. They love Jesus just as much we love Jesus. Yeah, they might not shout, hallelujah. But that doesn't mean they don't love God as passionate as I am. You see where we go wrong? They might not be rolling on the, like some of us here, we might not be rolling on the ground, but let's say another church, people are rolling on the ground. If that's the way they can express their love for God, what? Hallelujah! There's only one body. It's the body of Christ. That's why the body of Christ must be holy, guys. Period. That's why I said, if you go on our website, one of the things we put on our covenant class, we say, what a church looks like, sound like is debatable. Because some church, they don't like the drums. It might be, first of all, too loud for them. And some people might think, well, church, you know, they church shouldn't have drums. I remember when we had the first piano in our church. I grew up in the Baptist church. We used to have the organ. That's what we had. That's what I grew up in. You know? And then here, I'm 12, 13 years old, and there's a church, a Pentecostal church near my house, man. My mom is dragging me to church, and when I go to church, I'm like, oh Lord, my God. Very good. Very, very awesome. They're worshiping the Lord. Me, I'm like, I want to be like, oh Lord, my God, when I was someone. That's the way I want to sing that song. You know? So then I asked my mom, I said, Mom, you think I can go to this church? Thank God. She was very gracious. It's like, sure. And I always say, when I went to church, it wasn't Jesus that called me in church. That church, it was the sound of the guitar. Yeah. Because I wanted to play the guitar. I'd go and play, sit front row. And the only thing I watched was the guy playing the guitar. And then as soon as they're done playing, I sat down and I fell asleep. It was terrible. It was terrible. And then the preacher's done, and then I got up and quick went out. This guy, Jesus redeemed me, man. So here it says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here Paul is not talking about there is one baptism. He's mentioning the baptism of water in this context. Because I actually heard people say, you know what? Yeah, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is absolutely. No, you must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I tell you, you can't make it. You won't make it. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You get baptized with water to show that you've repented of your sin. You don't raise your hands, but I pray everybody here is baptized in water. If you're not baptized in water, the question is, have you repented of your sin? Because if you are truly repented of your sin, you will understand you need to be baptized in water to complete your salvation. I mean, yeah, your repentance. Ah, John the Baptist talks about it, right? Matthew chapter 3, you don't have to go there. And then, of course, verse 7 and verse 9, there's so much in there. I'm not going to go in there. But jump with me in verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The ministry gifts, I want to take time in the coming months to teach about the gifts of the ministry. But what are the ministry gifts? You have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor and teacher. Notice that pastor and teacher, well, as a matter of fact, when you go and study the Greek, it doesn't say pastor and teacher. It says the word translate pastor teacher, meaning anyone who walk in the office like me, I walk in the office of pastor. I'm a pastor. Robert is a teacher. We need an evangelist, someone who is burning with passion and with ideas here in our midst to evangelize our community, a community outreach. We need somebody like that. A prophet. Yeah, I believe the fivefold ministry can be in a church. But this is the problem, that this is the thing that happened. When you have an insecure pastor, a pastor who's not secure in the Lord, when one of those gifts are showing up in the church, you know what they do? There's no room for you. Because then you become a threat. I'm talking about to an insecure pastor. Me, I'm like, every church I lead, this is my second church. Okay, who, Lord, rise up the pastors, the teachers. But at the same time, anyone who is called in the office of to be a pastor, you must be able to teach. Or eldership. You know, like an elder is somebody that gives spiritual oversight of the church. A pastor, or it could be like part of the leadership. Someone who is, you know, I mean, I was saying it the other day. Why do I wake up at 4 a.m. to pray? Why do I fast? Why do I position myself in the presence of the Lord? It's because I have the responsibility to provide oversight for God's church. Thank God for work. I thank God for my job. I'm proud to be a plumber. But at the same time, I can't be out there full-time plumbing if I want to fulfill the call of the ministry. My full time responsibility must be to pastor. The moment God is releasing me from that, then, oh, praise God. I'll gladly be plumbing full time. But I'm very happy to be a pastor. You see the balance? Because, you know, I know sometimes one of the things people struggle with is whether they should be out there working or should be in the church serving. When you are called, there's no fight. I'm not fighting to know whether I should be plumbing full-time or should be pastor. Nah, this is end of story. I'm a pastor. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a missionary here in Virginia Beach. So there is so much. I'm not going to go into, we get in that later to help you understand the difference between the prophet from the Old Testament and the prophet from the New Testament. I don't know. Don't go and research it. But there is a lot of things that are happening right now with people wanting to listen to prophets. You know, you get prophet this, prophet X over there, prophet 7 over there. You know, that everybody wants to hear God say, thus says the Lord. How about you go, thus says the Lord here. Amen. And then thus says the Lord, you better obey it. And then you will succeed in all you do. Every young people, old people, whatever their age is, everybody's following the prophet. So be careful. I mean, that's where it says here. It says, let's keep reading. It answers it here. It says their responsibility is to do what? To equip God's people to do the work and to build the church, the body of Christ. So the responsibility of the fivefold ministries is to work together to equip who? You to do the work of the ministry. That's why we always encourage you, get involved, get serve. Don't just come to service. Where are you serving here? Ask yourself that. What am I doing? What am I involving in? Even if it's like once every 3 months, are you ushering? Are you helping with kids ministry? You know, I mean, I'd love to see youth ministry. I'd love to see young adult ministry. You know, we don't have those yet. We have children ministry with Kelly and Mary, but they need help. You know, I'd love to see those things, but I'm not sweating over it because Jesus is the head of the body. We're not program oriented. You know, there is another pandemic out there. The pandemic is where parents don't parent their kids. They let their kids parent them. Because now, instead of going to a church where the kid can be sitting and receive the instruction of the Lord, the kid's like, well, you know, I want to go over here where there's light flashing here and there. There's popcorn here and there. Praise God. Now, listen to me. I love popcorn, okay? But we are called to equip you so you could do the work of the ministry. You know what makes a healthy church? Healthy gifts of the... Yeah, healthy ministry gifts. When the ministry gifts can work together, when everybody find their niche. You know, so for example, we have Deacon Inge and Aaron. What, some of the things she does in the background, I mean, it's like, I don't want to do them. I mean, I do want to do them, but she's awesome. You know, when everybody in the church find their gift and there is no competition. There's no competition in the Lord. You know, and I tell you, and I thank God for that. I always, and I've seen it. I've been in ministry for 20 years. I've seen crazy things. It's not long, but it's long enough to see things where the gifts cannot work together because there's this great competition. I mean, who could I raise as a pastor here? There's nothing like, I mean, think about it. All right? I'm 49 tomorrow. 49, before you know it, I'll be 60, God's willing. So I'm like, Lord, who could I raise to be the next pastor here? Who could be our next? Could we hire, go out there and shuffle a worship leader? But who, Lord, can you raise up within our midst? You know, a goal of every good father is that they would see their son walk in their shoes. Amen. That goes spiritual for spiritual father as well. Who are you raising up as a spiritual mother? See, you don't have to be up here. You don't have to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, so-called. a pastor, teacher. You don't have to be those to be spiritual parents. Who are you influencing? Who are you influencing now in your lives? Who are you impacting right now? Are you still with me? So it says, this will, verse 13, this will continue until we come to such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son. And I like that. It says, the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry gifts, they work together to equip us until we get to be mature. You see, our goal, I mean, just imagine, maybe someday I'll come back, I'll come here. Just imagine, well, maybe I'll give that idea. Where's June? June here? June's here. June, maybe I'll give you an idea, try it, or you can just throw it away. Maybe next family feast, we all have like milk. Well, not everybody wants milk, but just think about it. Next family feast, we say, you know what, guys? We're just going to have milk. And as a matter of fact, you know what? We're going to make it very kind of little, not funny, but different. We're going to have, what do you call people? Bottles, baby bottles. I know, you see some of you are like, hey, it's crazy. That's weird. Why? Because we grown-ups. I want you to think with me for a second. So how many times you have people in the church for 15 years? You know what they, you know, the only thing they can eat? Milk. You cannot talk about casting demons. They're still living in sin. They're still selfish. Why? Because they remain babies. Our goal, my goal, you know, my goal is that all of you would become mature Christians. I would feel like, Lord, I'd be like, God, come on, that's 20 years, man. They're still tying their diapers. We hope spiritually we're talking. Spiritually. That's why you need to wake up. Examine yourself. How many years you've been in the Lord? How many years you heard the gospel? Are you still a baby? Are you an adult? Are you a teenager in Him? This is what it says here. The goal is that the fivefold ministry gifts work together. Why? To bring us to maturity. So everything we do here, we do it to bring you to maturity. You need to understand, everything I do, calling you, reaching out to you, calling you up. Why? I want to see you become mature. Because when you become mature in the Lord, man, we have a vibrant church. We live in holiness. We know how to manage life relationships. And then we become a blessing to this world until Father calls us home. Verse 14, then you will no longer be immature like children. So I can imagine June right now is like, okay, we're not having milk next month. Am I right? Okay, well. But we should try it. Some people would be like, I'm not coming. We're going to skip that one. We're going to skip that one. I don't want milk. You see, that's why here, I'm not feeding you milk. Spiritually, I refuse to feed you milk. Amen. You know those churches, those people, they just want to go to church and hear you good. You know, they hear this good feeling. You're not bad. You know, you're so pretty. Man, that's how about repentance. Guys, hell is real. There are people who come to church, they're not in Christ. Please, either death come or the rapture come. Are we ready? And that's why down here it says, what does it say? It says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. There's a couple places it says, live no longer as people who doesn't know God. I mean, there's no... Next week it talks about there's no room to talk about fornication, adultery, pornography, you know, backstabbing. It says if you steal, stop stealing, including stealing the government. Including like always to look for shortcuts to not to pay your tax. That's being a cheater too. That is being a cheater. Believe me, I tell you, I mean, I get it. It's like here in America, the more money you do, you make. That's why some people are like, why don't you tax the rich? Why do we have to? You know, some people, they want to be in this bracket because they don't want the government to come after their money. And they do come after your money. I'm not being an advocate for the government, okay? I know they're evil. They want your money. That's not what I'm saying. Let God deal with them. Let the Lord deal with them. But at the same time, when we're talking about if people, any of us steal, you're like, oh, okay, good. Praise God, I don't steal. Well, how about tithing? How about giving your time? How about honoring God with your money, with your possession? You know, I think we could debate when we talk about giving the Lord, giving to the Lord. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't need our stuff. Are you stealing from God? I don't know, you know. Because sometimes we can so fast go over this. How about your time? How many times I said if we would be honest, we would owe God 2 hours and 40 minutes every day. Because we have 24 hours. Let's say, you can't put 10% on tithe, all right? It's not about a percentage. But do we give God the leftovers? Does it cost me something? Because I love him so much. I love my wife so much. It doesn't matter if it's a dollar store treat. The idea is that when I come home or when I bring her something, she could be like, oh, you were thinking of me. You see, that's where it's at. And I think that's where a lot of people, they even in life relationship, you know. Valentine's Day, let's go out and buy a 12 thing of roses. Well, how about the rest of the year? Once a month, we're going to do a 24-hour fast. Yes, 24. It's just like the Sabbath. God gave the Sabbath so people could set apart that day to prepare your heart. He gave them a ritual so they could have access to him. Then Jesus came, he's like, hey guys, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. God set a time for us to enter his rest. The day, the time is today. So every day I get to cease striving and enter God's rest and live a life worthy of his call. That's what it says. It's, you know, when you tie it all together, it's like, wow, God, you're so good. I'm not looking at my time. Are you still with me or should I stop? Oh. Oh, there's so much. Let's just keep reading verse 14. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children who won't be tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. And you know those people. They follow these teachings here. Oh, there's a new wave. No. You want to be mature, then you know. I told you a couple weeks ago, how do you know? The guy from the bank was telling me, he was telling us a story about how the bank trained them to identify a false money dollar bill, you know, compared to a real dollar bill. They never bring the false dollar. You don't study the devil's trick. You know the truth. And the truth, you know, will set you free. And I tell you, especially by the Spirit, when you hear the false prophets, you don't have to argue. Your spirit within you is going to be like, this is false. You're going to have red flags. You know, you go to a church. That's why I don't worry about this place. I mean, if God chooses so for it, so be it. But I'm not worrying about ideas to appeal people, advertisement. The greatest advertisement we need for this church is for you to live a life worthy of the call. That's it. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a pure bride, a good church, a church that's ready, a group of people. I tell you, we will face trial. It's deception when people, you hear in the church, oh, come to the Lord, everything's going to be all right. Really? Which gospel? First of all, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. What's all right about denying yourself? Tell me. What's all right about forgiving someone who just stubborn, willingly not admitting they hurt you? And they're your parents. You know, if they would be a friend, out of sight, out of mind, you move away. But they're family members. What's right about that? Well, in the kingdom perspective, it's everything's right about that. Because we must die to ourselves to experience the resurrection of Christ. Verse 15, instead we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Anybody here wants to be like Christ? I do. So you will suffer like Christ. Because a lot of times you're like, oh, I want to be like Christ because we're thinking about the glory. You know what comes before the glory? The cross. You know what comes before resurrection? Everybody left him. Betrayal. You know, I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, you know what? When it comes to, I thank you guys for your encouragement. I love my church. I love you guys. I love my church. I'm passionate about my church. But you know what? When pastors are like me, genuine, trying your best to be like Jesus, it's a lot easier to get hurt. People misunderstand you, they judge you. Oh, there's something about talking about abandonment. You know, you have this relationship with this brother or the sister, all of a sudden they just left you. And they're like, okay, well, what happened? Did I do something? Oh, no, they're not talking. You know, so when we talk about church hurt, pastors, church leaders, they experience it probably to the highest level church members would understand. Because just like you know that feeling you have, betrayal, betrayed, rejection. We feel it too. Then we go to our wife, thank God. We're like, man, we cry to her. Or if we have a good friend, or, you know, our spiritual fathers, we talk about them. I remember there was a brother that was coming here for a couple years ago, and they're like, he's like, well, Pat, I didn't see him for a while. I was like, brother, where are you? Oh, I'm not coming because of your leadership. I'm like, okay, did I do anything? What did I do? I mean, it's crazy. This was the text. I'm not coming because of your leadership. And I'm like, Lord, what did I do? Okay, I said, would you please come help me? Because that's like, somebody tell me that. I'm like, what did I do? Because I don't want misrepresenting God. So please, if I hurt you or if I said something, come and help me out. So thank God for his wife. I put his wife on the text lead. She's like, I think you owe him a... Guys, it was just so childish. I'm like, well, but that has nothing to do with me. So I was able to listen to him and to realize I'm not the problem. And then I was able to bless him. I said, well, brother, I'm not the problem. So I understand if you don't want to be here. But God bless you. How many times I said, I don't have a pulpit. This is not my place. I want all of you, Dave, how many years I've been like, Dave, you need to preach here. I'm training Ryan. I told Ryan he's going to preach his first sermon. It's coming up. I thank God for, you know, people like Robert and some other, Felix, those guys, they're willing. You know, you ladies, the Holy Spirit's got gifts, his gifts in you. So I don't want anybody to think, well, I'm this gifted guy sitting out here, pastor never see me. I mean, please, if you have an itch to preach, come talk to me. Don't leave us. If God's giving you a word, please, I want to hear it. I want to screen it. If it's right, I want you to speak it. Because I don't have a church. Isn't it the book of Philippians so good? I'm going to stop right there because there's so much more. Because before I get too long. What would be your answer to, I'm going to ask Alyssa, come play for, let's take 5 minutes and then Robert's going to pray. Kendra and I and Alyssa, we're going to travel to stand with the family that's up there in mourning. But yeah, let's give an answer to the word of the Lord. Let's do that. What is God speaking to you? What did you hear? I mean, which area in your life you feel like, you know what, I need either repent or I need to make adjustment there, or I just need to just get better. And if that's you, whatever it is, whatever the Lord is telling you, I invite you to come to the altar. You know, just come to the altar, come before the Lord. You know, we'll make ourselves available for ministry time. You know, do you feel like maybe today is a decisive time for you to be like, all right, I'm done playing. I'm going to devote myself wholeheartedly to the Lord. Whatever it is, there is so much grace in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for His word.